right way.
I just wanted to get your attention. That's what I'm looking for. Watch it, Jim.
That was a snare, but it didn't work.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I forgot to put this on.
It's on? Oh.
So, the rope is going to be an illustration in a little bit. And hopefully, it'll make sense. Somebody, right off the top of your head, can you say the first verse of the Lord's Prayer? Okay, now I'm sure everybody heard that. But you all know it, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's that saying? What's that mean? What's it mean?
His will be done.
It's asking for his will to be done where?
On earth.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's happened yet?
No.
No, not in its entirety. How about the kingdom? Thy kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven.
It's here.
Everything is. Here's Jesus asked to teach the disciples how to pray, and this is what he says to them. That this is part of what needs to be at the core of who we are as people. That we should be praying to the Father. We need to hallow his name, make his name holy. And we are to pray. And this really, implies that we should be actively involved in praying and therefore doing the things that bring the kingdom of God up to the earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's not, we know there's two parts to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of God, and we've been talking about that lately, and we know that there is the coming where the kingdom's going to come in its fullness when the king is here. But right now, the king is not physically here. And we're in a beginning part of that kingdom. Now this is old hat. I know you know this. I know we've talked about it over the last few weeks. But it's important for us to realize that the kingdom of God is not just something that's future. The kingdom of God, we also know, Jesus describes as it comes without observation. Well, every eye is going to see, and everybody is going to see when Jesus comes back. So there is observation there. So it's not talking about that phase of the kingdom. Jesus is talking about the preliminary phase, and this is the phase of the kingdom of God that is within. And that's what Jesus describes, that the kingdom of God comes within. Now, prior to John the Baptist, there was all of the prophecy was really focused on this coming king, the Messiah, the Christ. Okay? And then from the time of John the Baptist and through the time of Jesus and into the church age, there's been an emphasis on the establishing of the kingdom of God here on the earth. And here's Jesus telling his disciples, pray for the kingdom to come on this earth as it is in heaven. Right? So there seems to be an emphasis here. Right? It seems to be something that we should know about and pray about and live within. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. You know, he wants us to kind of stand in the gap, be examples, be people that are committed to a kingdom that is here, not with observation yet, because the king's not here, right? But he wants us to be more fully engaged in what the kingdom is all about in this first phase. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 11, we find out something here. I'm not going to tell you the verse yet because I want to introduce it, and then we're going to read it. When Jesus shows up, there's not going to be any question who is in authority. There's not going to be any question where the power is or where the authority is. Absolutely. But you know what? Right now, in the phase that we're in this kingdom of God, there are people, there are powers and principalities that oppose the kingdom of God, that are against the kingdom of God. And this is what we're going to look at. And the title for the message today is The Kingdom of God Suffers Violence. So we're going to go to verse 12. All right?
Go to verse 12. And Jesus, after talking about John the Baptist, says this.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
All right? So hold on to that. Hold on to that. I'm going to go and read you a comparison verse in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, and it says this: The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So there's kind of some different views about what this verse is actually talking about. Are the violent the people that are coming against the kingdom? Or are these violent people that take a hold of it? Are they the people that are earnest for the kingdom of God to come forth? And you can you can debate that, but I want to say this: that no matter what you think that this is talking about, both ways of looking at this verse, the kingdom is suffering some kind of violence. And I would say to you that it happens on both sides. There are people and powers that are against the kingdom of God coming forth. And it also, then, is going to take people who, with the same kind of fervor, press in to take hold of it. Okay? So any way that we look at it, this violence isn't the way we think of violence. Our way of looking at violence is a total destruction.
destruction of a person or very, very, very bad things happening, and it could mean that.
Yeah.
But in the sense where we as God's people are pressing into the kingdom, and if we're the ones that are the violent who take it by force, then it's a different kind of understanding. Let me read you here what it says. That word violence really is talking about force, about having power. Now, I do not think that it was by happenstance that Eric, when praying for the kids, asked for God's power. There, I was blown away when he did that, when he prayed that. It's amazing. God has something to say to us in terms of his power, his kingdom, the force that it takes to enter into it, the force that it takes to protect the kingdom of God, because there is definite opposition to it. How many of you realize that there's a lot of opposition?
Yes.
To Christianity, to Jesus, to the church, to anything that deals with the true God, there is a lot of opposition in this world.
Yes.
It comes from two different sources. Two main sources. One is governments. You know that? Psalm 2 says that the rulers of this world, the kings of this world, conspire together against the Lord and his anointed, his Messiah. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And there is an attitude, an opposition, a resistance, an intimidation that has been going on since the time of John the Baptist and Jesus against the kingdom of God coming forth. We all know this. But I want to say that there is a lot that is put into the spiritual atmosphere that tries to intimidate us as believers, as those that are hoping and praying for the kingdom of God to come forth. Right? There's a lot there. And it takes courage to stand up and be who we're to be in this world, because it's not very popular.
It brings persecution as long as it's in the name of the Lord.
And it's especially true if the church isn't standing in its proper place. And this is real easy for the church. And if we look at this in a historical way, the church has, in a sense, lost some of its savor. It's lost that good taste in the mouth. So the word savor, I'm referring to Matthew 5:13, where it says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, which means its taste, its flavor, it's not good for anything. And it gets thrown out and trodden under the feet of men. Look what's going on. I would say that in a lot of ways that the church has lost some of that savor, and we need to see what it is, and we need to be those that are tasty, that have something to say. Now, it says that it lacks savor, and that means this. It means to be insipid. Now, some people might know what that word means, but in case you don't, it has no flavor. There's no interest in it. It is unimaginative. It's uninspiring. It's boring. It's wishy-washy. It's anemic. It's stupid. It's shut the mouth dog. You'll find that in the concordance. All of that is all wrapped up in that word, lacking savor. Wow. If something's boring or dull, it's lacking energy. There's a vitality that's not there. And so when we look at what's going on with the church and the push against the church and the opposition, what we see is that there's a play with the energy, spiritual energy. I think maybe I'll do this right now. Ryan, come on up here. I just grab. All right, so we're going to get this so it's a little tight. And Ronnie and I are going to play a little tug of war. Now, Ronnie.
Why not?
Let's just, you go ahead, grab the rope. What do you notice that we both did when I say grab the rope?
And grab the rope.
Why? You don't want to lose the grip, right? You want to have a tight grip on this. And if there is opposition, somebody's pulling in the opposite direction as you, right? Like the enemy, like the systems of this world that want to take you and I in a different direction, in an opposing direction than the way God wants us to live our life, right? We better take a good grip on understanding what's going on, right? So we both got a good grip. Now, being both men, there's a little bit of pride here, and he's going to want to beat me, and I'm going to want to beat him. But we're not going to do that. All right? Ronnie, go ahead and just kind of pull a little bit. All right. So now I've found if Ronnie and I are tugging at the same force, because that's what this word is, violence, the violence, take it by force, that word violent means force, it means power, it means strength. If Ronnie's pulling in one direction and I'm pulling in the opposite with the same amount of power, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing moves. Okay, Ron, I'm going to keep this kind of power. I go a little harder on what's going on now?
Now you're all powerless.
Now I'm starting to get moved. Go ahead, Ron. Really, pull me in. All right, now, okay, everybody see that? All right, now, Ron. Ron's getting tired. And this happens in tug of war. I mean, you can picture tug of wars when you were in school, right? So Ron's starting to get tired because I'm not giving up, and I start pulling, and he, and now, and you go back and forth. Isn't that what happens in tug of wars? Uh-huh. This is what's going on. Okay, you can drop that now, Ron. I'm going to use that because we're talking about force. We're talking about the fact that the kingdom of God suffers violence. All right? It suffers force. There are opposing forces, and it also means that those of us that are in the kingdom of God, there is an aspect where we have to have force ourselves. We have to have spiritual vitality. We have to have spiritual power. in order to offset the power that's coming. Now, how many of you realize that the forces in this world, they're pretty strong? They have power. If you know what's going on in the political realm, you can get a real good picture of what's happening with the lies, the deceptions, the wrongness in the way people are living. It can be deceiving. You have all kinds of false stuff that's going on. And believe me, if it's happening in the physical realm, political, emotional, I don't care what you want to, what area you want to look at. If it's happening in the physical realm, there's something going on in the spiritual realm. Right? You understand that? There's powers and principalities that influence everything that's going on in this world. Powers, principalities, forces of darkness and forces of light. And there's so many people who don't even realize that that's even true. Or they question it. And if you don't think that that's going on, you can be very deceived. You can be tricked in what this world is really all about. The world, what is happening right now, is there are forces that want the kingdom of God, and there are forces who do not. Period. That's what's going on in the spiritual realm, and everything surrounds that central concept. Jesus says that to us. Pray for the kingdom to be established on this earth as it is in heaven. I wonder how many of us really think like that. Well, that's too high, and you know, that's way beyond me. I can't think of those things. I can't even take care of myself. You know? That's how we think a lot. And yet, the establishment of his kingdom inside of us is going to be what's going to help us as individuals more than anything. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. So, I wrote down here. This is a little science lesson. Newton had three laws of motion. Everybody know who Newton is, right?
My favorite.
So here are the three laws of motion. And you guys know this, an object at rest will remain at rest unless acted on by an outside force. If I tried to get myself up in the morning years ago, there's no way I'm getting out of bed. I needed Kathy to get me out of bed. Malcolm, you need to get up. I'm being acted on by an outside force, and I'm not moving unless something else happens. All right?
Like the bed tip over.
And how about with us in terms of things that we need to change about ourselves? It's not, lots of things don't happen unless we're acted on by an outside force. Isn't it true? You and I are going to try to keep living the same old way until something comes along that forces us not to be that way, which is too bad. But there's forces that are involved in our lives all the time. And sometimes it takes something outside of us to get us to actually move. All right, here's the next one. The second law says a greater mass needs more force to move. Now, Ron and I are about the same height, build, okay? What's wrong? Well, what if I had Joe come up here? He's a little bigger than me. And it's going to take me, well, if we assume that Joe and Ronnie have about the same strength.
He's a lot
but I think Ronnie's probably stronger. But if there's more mass, it takes more force to move that person, right? I think it's very important for us to realize that not all spiritual forces, are you listening to me? Not all spiritual forces have the same weight, have the same authority. There's a hierarchy of authority in the spirit realm. And you and I can't just say, well, in the name of Jesus, goodbye.
That'll
work for some spirits.
Not much.
But you know what? The fighting in the realm of the spirit is a tug of war. Because some spirits who have a particular amount of authority, and we don't know, they don't identify themselves and tell us how much authority they have. They just do their work. And we're kind of unknowing what's going on sometimes. But you know, if you have opened up yourself to a particular kind of sin, a particular kind of missing the mark, and you've been living in that for years and years and years, or if you've inherited some kind of generational sin, it's been around a while. It's got its claws deeper into the way you think and how you react than some other spirit. Do you know that? And saying to move, maybe the claws come out a little bit because we say the name of Jesus. Or maybe all the way out, but that's going to reach back. There's going to be a tug back and forth until we, as God's people, persevere in prayer. Sometimes we want to pray over somebody, like we were doing. We pray over people, and I'm going to get to a list of them in a second, but we just expect sometimes, or I used to, just expect something immediate, no matter what it is, and immediately things are supposed to get better because we just use Jesus' name. Now, there is power in the name of Jesus. And his blood, the power that's there because of what he did, it is enabling for us to take authority in the Spirit. But we have to realize it isn't once and it's all done. Have you noticed that in your life? Sometimes you pray for something or you have somebody praying and it seems like, hey, I think I got a victory here. And a month later, you're all wrapped back up into it again.
Amen, preacher.
Right? There's a tug of war going on.
There is.
These spirits aren't going to let you and I go. The globalist forces that want to create a one-world government, just because there's a pushback right now, they're not going to go running to mommy.
No.
They're going to come down harder. And we get a real good picture what the enemy is like, because the enemy knows his time is short, and he is going to look for a way to double down, to come back at you and I from some other angle, harder, rob you and I, try to devour us in our minds and our emotions. It's a ruthless fight that we're in. And in that sense, there is a violence that's involved. And we have to be tough inside, knowing that we have the source of power and the source of authority on our side.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Let me. So I want to talk to us about being forceful people. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus showed a whole different way. Turned the other cheek. There's all of that. And this all wraps up together. We're not supposed to become mean, rotten, stinking, rotten people that are going to be mean and choose the world's way of doing things. But I'll tell you what he does want. He wants us to be forceful. He wants us to have his power moving inside of us. His power. Not our own. Not the way we think of it. But the church is attacked all the time. Jesus is attacked all the time. We have to understand what we're facing and hit back. And that's done in a spiritual sense, isn't it? Okay, so let me go down through this. I showed Kathy what my notes were, and normally I just have scriptures in a row up here, and that's the end of it. But I wrote out some stuff, so I'm afraid I'm going to read down through some of this stuff here. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go there first. I'm going to run through a bunch of scriptures real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, verse 20. The kingdom of God, let's read it here. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. In other words, it's real easy to say spiritual things. It's real easy to say, I bind you in Jesus' name. Right? It's another thing to be walking in the power of those words. There's a price to pay to walk in the power of Christ. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this to us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
This word power is the word dunamis. It means force, just like the word violence did in the scripture that we started out with. It means a force. It means a vital energy. It means, let me see, did I give you all those definitions? Yeah. Violence means force, power, strength, vital activity, energy, pressing into the power to move things. And in order to move something, you have to exert more energy in the one direction than the force that's trying to pull you in the other. Now, think about this when it comes to the personal battles that you're in. Because we can say the name of Jesus. This is really important. And this isn't taking away from the power of his name. Because if we're standing in the name of Jesus, and not just in talk, but in power, knowing that we have the victory, and that there is going to be a tug of war. Things aren't just going to magically disappear, depending on the strength of the force that you or I are coming against. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes things go right away. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yes.
Sometimes you pray for something and boy, there's an immediate result. But sometimes there's not. And that takes some perseverance. Okay, so when we talk about The kingdom is not in word, but in power. It's this force. The kingdom is characterized by power, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell me what are the fruits of the Spirit of God? If you and I are moving in the Spirit, then we're moving in its power, right? In his power. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Let's see if we, there's nine of them. Go ahead.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah. There you are. Very good.
Galatians 5.
Okay. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5, I think it's 22. Yeah.
23.
So that's really 23. That's where there's a source there. When we're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have to be in the Spirit. Mm. If you are moving in fear, moving in some other fleshy emotion, and you're reaching out to take authority in the Spirit, you and I are going to have a tough time. What we do needs to be by the Holy Spirit, which means we have to turn our attention there, realize that we don't have the power. Right?
Yep.
Even right now, you know, I sometimes feel like when something's coming on me, I have to, you know, talk loudly or exert some kind of physical energy. And sometimes that is needed. But what it is, it's an intensity of spirit. It's an intensity of love for God and love for our fellow human beings that we step out and we say something in the power of His Spirit, not of our own.
Right?
Yeah. Isn't that what we have to do? Because we're attacked, intimidated, persecuted, overwhelmed a lot. The kingdom of God suffers violence. It suffers this kind of force against us. And if we are not going to just be victims of that all the time, there needs to be the right, proper kind of force that pushes back and not only creates an equilibrium, but that the force that we move in, and Jesus is stronger than anybody, right, is greater. And if we're moving in Him, then we're going to break down strongholds. Aren't we? What was that song that we sang? Chain breaker. Chains are going to get broken. We've already seen this. We've had a lot of victories. But I know there's plenty more. Plenty more for us to experience. And God will give us that. But it doesn't come with the magic wand when we're not entering in to engage with God the way He wants us to. We just want God to just be there when we need Him, and then we're going to go our own way. Yeah. That only goes so far. God's gracious, and He does things for us when we don't deserve it. Don't get me wrong. Those things are going to happen. And we really love it when God graces us with that, right? But there's also a quality of God's people, of people of the kingdom, where Jesus really is the king of their life, where we are engaged with Him in a much greater way. You know, you got people who don't know Jesus at all. You got people that do know Jesus. And you have people that have really sold out. Have really sold out. Now, which group do you want to be in? Hebrews 4:12 says that the word is powerful. Boy, now isn't that the place to go? Going to the Word of God.
Yes.
Right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
right?
Yeah.
And we're talking here about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right?
Yeah.
Christ in us. When we had people up here, we lay hands on them. What do we lay hands on people for? What's that, some kind of creepy little thing that the church does that we just got into some habit of doing? No, the word tells us to do that. There is power in agreement. When we pray and people are amening, they're saying, so be it,
yeah.
Right? There's an assent, there's a spiritual energy. Yeah, mm-hmm. A spiritual energy that is happening. You have people with a particular infirmity or some emotional thing, and we pray over those people. There's that energy that's coming to them from the darkness, from maybe bad habits or something, and then there's an energy that we're releasing too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a force. Well, let's. How'd that Star Wars go?
May
the force be with you. There's a force. It's a power. It's a strength.
That's the word.
Okay? And it comes from the Word of God. Yeah. All right? Okay. I'm almost done. I wanted to point out, there's this curious thing in the book of Acts where, I can't remember the situation, I think it was dealing with the sons of Sceva or maybe it was somebody else, but
good story.
Somebody wanted to move in the power that Paul had.
Mm.
Well, maybe it was
Simon the sorcerer.
Sorcerer. And he wanted to have the same kind of power that Paul was moving into. He had become a Christian, right? The Simon guy. And now he wanted to move in the same kind of power. So he tried to move in it, and he got really messed up by the spirit of darkness, this particular spirit of darkness. And the spirit said to Simon, as it was recorded in the book of Acts, says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?
Yeah.
That goes back to the seven sons of Sceva.
Seven sons of Sceva, yeah. I know Jesus, and I know Paul. Who are you?
Yes, sir.
Now, what's the difference between Paul and this other guy? Because if both have received Christ, both have the Spirit of Christ, their hope of glory, right?
Yeah, but
there's a difference, isn't there?
Yes.
Paul went through and learned how that he might decrease so that Jesus could increase in his life. There was a process. There was a dying. Right?
Okay.
There was an attitude to want to please God, not take power to themselves. Right. And this is something you and I have to be careful of in this present day church in America, because people are looking for power without the requisite suffering, spiritual experience, knowing Jesus. We want to know Jesus. And the power of his resurrection, but not too many of us want to know the fellowship of the sufferers. But you need all of that to move in the kind of power that we're going to need here at the end of this age. Because you and I know that when things get closer to the end, the devil, seeing that his time is shortened, is going to come ravaging. He's going to double down. There's going to be even greater deception and torment, mental or physical. He's going to do whatever he can to destroy as many people as he can. But thank God that we're not given from God a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. We have the ascendancy if we step in and take it. And not everybody is in the same place, but if we are desiring to move ahead in God, we will be able to meet the onslaught in a much greater way. It takes dedication. It takes real commitment to God every day.
Come on, right. Don't give me that hour. Shoot, where is it?
Sunday's good enough, isn't it? No, not if you want to do this the right way. And Jesus doesn't have like a lot of middle ground. You're going to do it or you're not going to do it. Right? You're going to go with him or you're not going to go with him. And not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven. That's a scary verse. I'm not scared about it because I know in whom I believe. But that also, I'm not scared because I'm taking that to heart. And I'm not going to just, bounce through life, me and Jesus, and not be attentive to him wanting to change me in the areas I need to change in. Because that has to happen. You and I aren't going to have just all kinds of power given to us when we're not ready for it. You know that? Give your 8-year-old the keys to the car. Let him drive the car. Why don't you do that? Because they're not ready. They haven't gone through what they need to go through. And this is how and why the church, in lots of ways, has lost its savor. It's not willing to go through what we have to go through. Now, I think many people, many of us, are saying, "Oh, yeah, I want to be that way. I want it to be that way. And God, help me to be that way." But the kingdom of God is suffering violence. It's suffering attack and force against it. And we, as God's people, need to push back on that.
That's right.
Otherwise, we get trampled underfoot by men.
Kaboom.
And it doesn't seem like that's what Jesus wants to happen to us. How many of you, anybody believe that Jesus wants us for that to happen? He says, pray that the kingdom be established on the earth. Well, it's starting in here, isn't it? It's starting in here. And it's going to take, I have one last scripture, I think. You know me about that. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to have two scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 and then Hebrews chapter 10. So Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'll be finished real quick here. So it says this in verse 27. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Amen.
Yeah. It's going to happen that way, isn't it? In the meantime, what we're in right now is a tug of war. But we're coming to the time where, as we grow up into Christ, we're not going to be moved by the forces of the enemy. We're going to be strong where we need to be. We're going to receive a kingdom that can't be moved. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom that can't be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything. All right, and then I'm going to close with this last one. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse, I'm going to start at 35. Because this will be important for us in terms of power, is that we don't give up too soon. It says this in verse 35. Do not cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience or perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? Don't say patience either. What does it mean to persevere?
Keep trying.
Keep trying.
Yeah, don't give up.
Keep pressing in. Don't give up. When things aren't going your way and you've prayed for something and you're not seeing the results that you want, keep on praying. Right? Persevere. So that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Which shows me there's a tug of war going on there. Sometimes we pray for things and we don't get an immediate result and we give up too soon. Because when it is God's will and we pray, that doesn't automatically mean it's going to happen just like that. We might have to press through in order to see the result of His will. It takes perseverance, right? So this is important for us as children of the kingdom, and a kingdom that's being attacked all the time. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that will come, and won't tarry. Jesus is coming back. The king is going to establish his kingdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, the just live by faith. But any man that draws back, withdraws. My soul will not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's for every single person in here. You know, we're armed with the Word of God. We're armed with the power of God that's within. As we stand in faith and move in persevering faith by the grace of God, we're all victorious. Or can be, right?
Yes.
But that's all up to us. God provides the power. We have to connect with that power source. So the kingdom is suffering violence. But we are receiving a kingdom that isn't going to be moved.